And Yoni, welcome to South Carolina. Welcome here to our radio station, The Point, to Columbia, South Carolina. It's a privilege to have you here. I wish you weren't here. I wish you didn't have to be here. I wish you weren't having a tour. I wish you didn't have to experience what you've experienced over the course of the last couple of years. But I guess yesterday was a pretty emotional day, obviously, for you also. I want to talk about the culmination of it. But first of all, again, shalom and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. I'm very open about my Judaism on the radio here in Columbia, South Carolina. It's not a secret.
And when you say open, what do you mean?
I mean, I love Israel, and I love being a Jew, and I make sure people know it. But I'm also someone that tries to be as objective and look at things as objectively as I can. And my support for Israel has been unrelenting and 1,000% support and unwavering. But there's nothing I can feel or say to other than try to empathize, to listen to you, to understand what you have been through and what the people you love have been through. So tell us your story, please, and do so knowing how much love and compassion we have for what you have been through.
Right. First of all, thank you for having me here. I've always wanted to go to one of the Carolinas. Never been.
Well, you're in the better one. This is the better one.
Would this be the
South Carolina's the better one, yeah.
But you're saying this objectively, right?
No. This one, there's no objectivity here at all. This one, I'm adamant. We're the better one.
So I'm happy to be here, super laid back people, considering the other places I've been at. I'm not going to mention them, but it's been a hell of a ride since October 7th. I've been doing the speaking for quite a bit about my trauma, about what I went through on October 7th. So as you mentioned, a lot of people are really misinformed. They don't really know exactly what happened October 7th. They just consume the media. For example, I've seen people that kind of ignore the fact that we were the ones attacked on October 7th. Hamas and their monsters, mafia, with hundreds of martyrs just entered Israel October 7th on a Saturday morning, 2023, and start murdering people. I was unlucky to be in this festival, and I'm very lucky also to be alive, and I'm here and I can share my story. But before I enter my story and I start talking about it, my name is Yoni Diller. I'm a social activist since the 7th especially. I'm a U.S. citizen and also Italian citizen from my mom, an American from my dad, and I live in Tel Aviv. And in this festival, I came basically as one of the filmmakers. I volunteered as a filmmaker to operate my drone. Came there to try to have a good time. So I just want people to understand this festival was a place where ravers just want to have a good time and celebrate love. It's like I tell American crowd usually, just to put it in perspective, it's like a combination of Coachella, Burning Man, and Woodstock, okay? And there are around 3,000 people coming to this forest in the middle of the desert, right, in the outskirts of Gaza, which was not the first time they had festivals over there. They've had a few before. It wasn't a problem. It's always approved by the police and everything. It's not a problem. This is the psytrance culture, okay? It's a culture of people that have huge hearts, big hearts. We were there, a group of 20 of us, dancing and having a good time. And really a bit before the sunrise, around between 6 and 6:30, we were at the dance floor just trying to have a good time. And at 6:30, we see missiles coming from Gaza. Mm. And I see the DJ, he keeps playing. People there are drunk. They're not really aware of the situation.
Sure, they're partying.
They're just partying, trying to have a good time. And you see suddenly behind the DJ, you see dozens of missiles coming from Gaza that became hundreds of missiles. And people keep dancing and look around me. And I tell my friend that I came with, Nadav, hey, look, you see these missiles coming from Gaza? That doesn't look good. And for the first minutes, people actually kept dancing. It was kind of crazy because we felt like is this a dream? We got to wake up. Suddenly, the police took the mic, told everyone, guys, there's a red alarm. You guys probably can't hear it because of the music, but there's missiles coming for Gaza. You guys better take your stuff and leave. We went to our tents. Everyone started running, panicking. In the middle of festival, you see hundreds of missiles on top of the air. we start packing and taking our stuff and helping our friends pack up the chairs, you know, everything, the tents. So we start driving outside the festival to seek help, to seek shelter. Now, it was jammed. It was trafficked. A lot of people honking and just, you know, people just panicking, just want to go home. There's no really place to hide there. Now, it's important for me to mention that, you know, it's not the first time we've seen rockets, missiles in Israel.
Sure.
It's something that we're kind of used to, unfortunately, because the reality is that Hamas and jihadist groups in Gaza, which control Gaza, these terrorist groups send these missiles every once in a while to provoke us. They know, you know, they're not going to, you know, beat an army, you know, the IDF, you know, we're strong, but it's more of a mental thing, you know, they're trying to scare us. That's what terror is, scaring. And so they managed to send all these missiles, and everyone started running from this festival, but no one understood. This was a different situation, right? I mean, no one understood.
Right. The magnitude.
That, exactly. No one understood that these are not just missiles. What's about to happen a short time later is a bunch of monster terrorists start spraying people to death. That's what happened. But coming back to the point where we were going out to that, aside from the festival, we had to make a decision if we're taking right or left in the intersection, in the entrance of the festival. So I see people start running around and running really fast and yelling and screaming, "Do U-turn now! Do U-turn! Don't go this way!" And I asked them, "What happened? Well, what happened?" And they were just panicking. Suddenly, I see on the other side, I see a car really approaching slowly, slowly to our direction. It wasn't driving. It was kind of a neutral, but it seemed like the car had a hard time stopping it. So as the car comes closer, I notice that the car is full of bullets. Hold.
Right.
And I see a girl in that car trying to break the car. She's super afraid. Her name is Shani Gabay. Maybe some have heard of her. Shani Gabay. I see her and she's super afraid. So we open the door for her. It was like a dozen of us. And she just slides out, bleeding to death. She was shot on her left knee. We help her out. We try to give her water. And the thing is, you know, Shani, and this, again, is something we understood only in retrospect. At that time, we didn't understand, how is this possible?
Chaos.
And we just saw missiles. People are screaming, "Do a U-turn, run." And panicking, and then right. You see this girl injured and dying in front of your eyes. What happened? So the thing is, I'll take you a bit back, what happened to Shani. Before we saw her, she was actually the first ones to escape this festival together with her friends. And they encountered terrorists on the highway, because the thing is, when the terrorists first came in, initially, they came to these villages, these innocent villages, okay, of these kibbutzim around Gaza, you know, actually pretty peaceful people. These are like liberal, progressive people that live in these kibbutzim,
sure.
All right, that also Gazans themselves worked in these kibbutzim,
right?
And
people
and,
need to know what a kibbutz is.
Oh yeah, so kibbutz is like a kind of a communist model of a way of living.
Everybody contributes. Everybody shares.
Yeah, you know, the guy's a cook, the guy's a CFO, right. the other guy just does accounting. Doesn't matter what they make, everyone makes the same.
Yeah, puts it in the pot.
Puts in the pot, right. And this is shareable. They have dining room. Everything's shareable. It's there aren't many like those, but these were really interesting places to live, because you know they don't have many of these models,
right.
and they believed in peace, and they had Gazans working there. And then, ironically, these terrorists invaded these kibbutzim and they start slaughtering the people there and taking people from their homes. And Saturday morning, and then they saw this festival. I think, again, it's a theory. I think it's by surprise. I mean, they didn't know about this festival before.
Really?
At least that's what I want to believe. I think this festival caught them by surprise. And for them, it was like, sorry to say that, but they were kind of lucky, you know, for martyrs. Oh, wow, there's innocent people in a festival.
Right. Let's, in front of us, yeah.
Right in front of us. They don't have a way to defend themselves. Let's start slaughtering them,
sure.
And kill them and rape,
sure.
Them and kidnap them. So Shani was on her way out, and she saw these terrorists. Terrorists were like a dozen of them, and they were waiting for her and her friends, and they start shooting them. So Shani and her friends went to this bomb shelter. There are these like public bomb shelters on the side of the road. They're hiding in there, just waiting for help, and the terrorists threw a grenade in one of the shelters. Luckily, they weren't dead, but they were severely injured. Shani somehow managed to escape. She was hiding, you know, beneath her friends and everything. And she had like pieces of metal and grenade, and she had to, you know, she was shot in her left knee by one of the terrorists. She waited a bit and she crawled herself out. She went back to her car and she drove to the festival like a brave girl. She drove for like 10, 15 minutes with a bullet in her knee just to warn us that terrorists are on their way. Go the other direction.
Oh my gosh.
And this is something that is insane because we didn't understand that at that time. When I saw Shani, I tried to ask her, how did this happen to you? And this is what she went through a few minutes before. And she just tried to warn us. And like a brave woman, she could have just done the opposite. She could have driven on the way out, but she decided to go back to the festival to warn everyone. So we were taking care of her at that time. And my friend was going to give her water from our car. By the time he came back, there was a sudden gunfire. That the terrorists came in. They came closer to the festival. It was automatic gunfire. It was like, like one after another. Now, I'm lucky, I would say, like in the military, I've served in the military for 3 years. In Israel, it's mandatory. Everyone does the military. Women do two years, more or less. Men do three. You know, that's our reality, and we got to protect ourselves. I'm sorry I'm very direct, but our neighbors are not the friendliest neighbors we have.
Sure.
Okay, so.
Sure.
Just kind of sarcastically, that's the situation.
Yeah.
So I've done the military for 3 years, and I would say that if there's something that helped me doing the military, is how to distinguish between a friendly fire and not a friendly fire. And the IDF does not use these automatic weapons, these gunfire, heavy gunfire, like automatic weapons. This is something used usually by it's AK-47s. Okay, AK-47s are usually used by Hamas. By jihadists, it's a Russian weapon.
Mm-hmm.
They're not used by, you know, at least from our military. So I just noticed that, you know, that doesn't sound like our people. That doesn't sound like IDF. We gotta act fast. I mean, these might be terrorists. I didn't want to believe it, but all the dots connected. You know, there's like a triangle of death. I see the missiles. I see Shani dying in front of my eyes. You hear the gunfire. You see the people running. Okay, we gotta act fast. So we go to the open fields. We start running for our lives. You can also Google it, like the Nova Festival. You can see on YouTube how people are running in the open fields like crazy.
Sure.
Just running from terrorists.
Sure.
So we noticed this valley, like kind of like a river where there's just no water. You know, Israel's pretty dry. You know, it's still in the middle of the desert, so. We managed to hide in that river, in that valley, and the terrorists, you know, they noticed that we were there, and they started shooting in that direction as well. So at some point, we just, you know, put our head down, and I tell all the people next to me, put your head down now, put your head down. And bullets were flying next to my, like, really close, like I guess 2 inches from my head, whistling next to my ears. And I see people around me, they don't know what to do. You know, I'm sure that like the ones that really put their head down and, you know, took cover, survived, the ones that didn't, I'm not sure what happened to them. But I can tell you this, that, you know, in these festivals, and people think it's a bit taboo, but I'll just say it straightforward. You know, people sometimes, you know, they take drugs, you know, they get drunk.
Sure, sure.
You know, they're not really like aware of the situation, you know. So I see people, you know, that, and like the guy's not with me. I mean, luckily, I was focused at that time, and I just crawled myself out, telling people to put their head down. Bullets were flying on top of our head, and I opened my phone while, like, I'm in the bush, trying to understand, like, the location. You know, luckily for me, I like geography, so I don't know. I just start seeing what's the place next to me, and I see all these villages, and frankly, I didn't even know these villages. You know, I just knew one direction that might be possible to be safe. And we went that direction, this city called Patish, P-A-T-I-S-H, small village with a few dozen families. So we start walking that direction, the desert, and the background while we're walking, we see this smoke coming from the area of the festival, like black smoke, white mm-hmm. smoke, explosions,
mm-hmm.
crazy, crazy time. And we were just like in shock, like we didn't understand what's going on. And we kept walking and walking and walking and walking. With no water, no food, just seeking for help. They didn't have any help, like, you know, nothing. Eventually, we walked for almost 5 hours in the sun, just hoping for something. Actually,
did you know the people that you were with, or was it at this point just a scramble?
No, it was just a scramble. I didn't know these people. I mean, you know, everyone survived, like, from different points, and it just kind of somehow, you know, came together. And eventually, you know, I didn't even tell my mom where I was. You know, I told my brother while I was in that bush. I'll never forget that moment. Like, he calls me, asks me, is everything okay? He says, yeah, I'm fine. Look, I need you to keep a secret. If mom asks where I am, don't tell her where I am. Okay, don't tell her I'm at the Nova site, at this festival. Everyone's talking about it on the news. I don't want her to panic. Just keep it between us. Can you make that promise for me? And he said, yeah, okay, no problem. Just be safe. Take care of yourself. Is that okay?
Is your brother older or younger?
He's my younger brother.
Okay.
I have two twin brothers. Okay. Actually, his twin brother, he's in the army. They're 22. And he's in special forces. Mm-hmm. And my brother was called to the army together with the other. You know, it's like code 8, they call it. Tzav Shmone. So he was called in the army. And he was actually fighting the terrorists in the villages in Be'eri.
Right.
All right, in Be'eri. And actually in Aza village, called Aza village, Kfar Aza. He was fighting terrorists there, you know, between all the houses there, while I was walking and surviving in that desert. And we were like a few miles away from each other.
Right.
And we didn't know that only until after.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. We arrived to Patish with this village eventually after 5 hours, almost fainting. And, you know, we just had grapefruit on the way, like fields of grapefruit. We could have just somehow be not like dehydrated. We were super dehydrated. And we just arrived and the civilians helped us out. You know, the families, they were so generous. They came with their trucks and they came help us out. And it was such a sensitive moment because they didn't understand if we're terrorists ourselves. You know, I have terrorists everywhere. They start invading places and everything. So it was super. They were super careful themselves.
Right. It's one thing to have sirens and missiles go off. It's another thing to actually be invaded.
Yeah.
And that had not happened, right?
That had not happened. It's the first time it ever happened.
Right.
And in fact, you know, it even hit me a lot more when I arrived to Patish and I started asking people next to me, like, what did you see? Like, I've seen this and that. Like, let's connect all the puzzles together. You know, did you see your friends? No one's like, their friends don't answer, no nothing, panic. So you see this one guy telling me that he saw his friends being killed in front of his eyes.
Mm.
And you see this girl crying, just crying with tears, telling me that she saw her friends being raped in front of her by Hamas terrorists, monsters. And she couldn't do anything because she was hiding next to a bush. You know, I mean, she would be exposed. She would be
there
herself.
She'd be next.
She would be next. So she was super afraid. I wish I didn't hear that, you know, because I don't want to imagine what they went through, what they saw. And this should be spoken. I mean, this, everyone should know this. And this is what we're facing. These are the people that dictate Gaza, and this Hamas are killing their own people. And you can see right now what's happening in the, you know, we got our hostages back in this deal, which is super exciting. And now basically Hamas is doing whatever it can be, you know, to control Gaza. And it's killing their own people, the opposition.
They've executed 50 more people.
They've executed a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And they do it on the streets where everyone can see. They're same like ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I've seen... So I did a lot of speaking tours since October 7th. And if you want, I could tell you a bit like what I've seen the universities I've spoken to.
Well, that was... And we only have about 5 minutes. So I wanted you to tell me, if you could, two things. It's hard because, well, we're on limited time. But there's two things I would like to get out before you leave, please. One is I want you to talk about what you've seen when it comes to what they say is anti-Zionism, but you and I both know is anti-Semitism. What have you experienced on college campuses, and what have you seen, and what do you feel? How does it make you feel?
Right. So after October the 7th, I just wanted to share my pain because it felt, in the beginning, I didn't really want to share with anyone. But then, you know, doing all these interviews to all these TV channels like Fox, MSNBC, Sky News, and it just felt good just putting out there, because I saw that around the world there are places in these enchantments and in campuses that people deny that October 7th happened, and they keep saying that, you know, we kind of just came into Gaza and start killing people. And that was not the truth. And I said, maybe my story can help people be more informed by someone who survived it and seen these terrorists in his own eyes. And I came to these campuses. I did a tour myself, and I took the train to Harvard, to Yale, to Princeton, to MIT, Columbia, NYU. I went to all these places, and I went and I saw these enchantments myself. I usually spoke to the Jewish community there, and also the ones that are kind of in the middle, you know, Christians, Catholics, you know, even people that are not Jewish. They just don't know what the hell's going on.
Sure.
These are the ones I want to address, because I couldn't speak to the how would I call it, the extremist progressives. I couldn't speak to them because it was too dangerous at that time. I had security you know, blocking the entrance for them from them getting into my lectures. Right. I was just sharing a story. I'm not there to speak about politics. I'm not there to say who's right, who's wrong. There's no right and wrong in war. You know, they invaded us and we tried to get our hostages back, our dozens of hostages back. And that's the whole point. So I had people in my lectures trying to, I would say, challenge me. For example, Princeton. I was there, first row. You know, I don't want to be sounding any like the guy just came from the other side. All right. I would just say that way.
Sure.
An immigrant from the other side, you know, you just want to provoke me and say, hey, yeah, because there's the genocide. So October 7th, it was legitimate and it should have happened. And I told him, look, there is a genocide in Gaza happening by Hamas. Hamas is killing his own people. They're hiding in hospitals, in schools, in mosques. They hide their weapons. They got millions of dollars. Instead of improving their education of their people, they've built tunnels and imported weapons to do October 7th massacre. Now, 10/7 for us is the American 9/11,
sure.
Okay, symbolically.
Sure.
And I decided not to invest my energy and time in front of 300 people and this one guy trying to provoke me, explaining him this thing. So I told him, look, I can get into this, but I'm not here to talk about politics or saying who's bad, who's not bad, who's good, who's not good. But we can, if you want, we can talk about it privately and have a dialogue. Would you mind doing that? And he was just quiet and he was so embarrassed, and everyone just respected that answer because I didn't play his game.
Right.
And unfortunately, we see a lot of those. And part of these people that do these enchantments, a lot of them are just misinformed. It's a minority. It's not the majority, I'm sure about it, but it's a loud minority.
Social media is not helping at all.
No. Social media just, you know, promotes this extreme algorithm for them. It's just making more money.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've asked these people on the streets, hey, you guys are chanting to river to the sea. Do you know which river and which sea you're talking about?
Right.
A lot of them didn't even know. They were sure it's the Hudson River. You know?
No, it's not the Hudson River.
That was embarrassing. Right. And I told them, look, let's have a conversation. In fact, I survived the October 7th massacre, and you're telling me all these lies. Let's have a conversation. And I'm worried because the same people are people that are running for being mayors in New York, and you know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
And it's crazy. You don't have to believe in a Jewish state. You don't have to be pro-Israel or pro-anything. This is inhumane.
Yeah.
It's the worst massacre to happen since the Holocaust, and I've survived it miraculously, and I'm here to tell it. I'm never going to give up.
No.
People, everyone deserves to know this because it's not about left or right. It's not about politics. It's about humanity. And I wish all these people in these riots come to Israel themselves and come visit.
Yeah. God bless you. Thank you for your time and coming in here. I'm so glad you survived. And keep telling your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.